The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Good Monday morning. It's 7:05 in the morning. Today it's the 29th of September, a Monday. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live, Linda and I are, on KCNR1460.com. And, of course, Bad Bob is here.
Hey, and Bob. Good morning.
How was the air show for you guys? What day did you go?
I went on Saturday, and probably absolutely optimum conditions for an air show. Normally, the Reading Air Show was is a a rather warm affair. It seemed lower key from where I was sitting, but I was back with the displays. We were kind of tucked in with all the veterans and all that, and people seemed to be upbeat. And the show seemed to be a little lower pace this year, but the Canadian F-18 put on a great display, and the snowbirds were excellent. It's more of a ballet than a Top Gun thing, and it was kind of refreshing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have different types of aircraft, but you're right, that F-18, when it comes by and it makes that turn and it hits the afterburners, everybody has their hands over their ears. But did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I'm just curious, when Bob was talking about how you were tucked in with in the military, when you got your tickets, did that give you a designated area, or was the general admission for everyone?
You were helping. Yeah, but he was helping with the
okay.
With that.
That was a choice.
Well, I got a call on Wednesday from the flotilla commander who said, you need to be out there. And while it is a volunteer organization, there's, you know.
Okay, okay.
So I was out there with the auxiliary.
Oh, I thought that Brenda was the flotilla commander.
Oh, not yet.
No,
she hasn't
not
been
yet.
For a couple of years.
Oh, okay, okay. That's right. I was going to say, so you got the phone call. Was her nudging you and going, you're going out there?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, I was prepared with earplugs this year. Didn't really feel like I needed them. We were sitting on the very end of the field. Where, you know, you have what they would call, you know, center stage. I guess evidently that's where the announcer was. So we were sitting at the very end, and I just really enjoyed, I enjoyed the weather because it was overcast yesterday. And I love the sky when there's clouds in it because it just,
cooler.
It just makes all these different colors. And it was beautiful to, and didn't you say that this particular show, and you had heard by one of the officials, that this show was the low altitude show.
The high altitude where they have a clear sky, and they do different types of aerobatics. But the one, the lady that was with us Friday, Jackie B, takes her red plane out there. And does everything with it, but make milkshakes out on the wing. When she goes straight up in the air, twists it, turns it, drops it. It was her show, her part of the show, as were, you know, everybody does, but her part of the show was just fantastic. And so, you know, you can't go next year because it's every other year, every third year. But speaking of which, what's the weather like today?
Well, it looks like
the
weather was
beautiful. Everybody thought, oh, it's going to rain yesterday, but I kept checking it and said, nope, 0%.
And it was funny because when the sky opened up and it was, of course, the sun was shining through. The temperatures were varying yesterday. Today, it looks like our forecast calls for a sunny day, partly cloudy tonight. Temperatures around 81. Let's look at the forecast with the week ahead up until at least Thursday. Sunny with a temperature of around 83 and a high of 85 on Wednesday. Well, Thursday, we get around 91. And then, so don't pull out, don't pull out those sweaters yet. We're looking to, of course, and we always know on Friday's 93 and Saturday's 94. So that's what we look, we're looking for, those kinds of clear skies, beautiful days. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Still have that air conditioning on. They're locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793.
Okay. The other thing I want to do is, remind everybody about the community, the Shasta County Honor Flight of Northern California, the community flight. Honor Flight, the movie, will be on tomorrow at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Yuba Street. That's next to the post office there. It'll be at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Suggested donations, $10. And the Shasta County Honor Flight Northern California, of course, takes World War II veterans back to the World War II Memorial and to other places they can get to on that one day. It's an all paid trip for the veterans, but they have also attendants that go with them and who pay their own way. But it gets, you know, it's a chance to have the World War II veterans see that memorial and pay homage to them. Then they also go to other memorials there in the city of Washington, D.C., and then they come back. What a great, great program Debbie and Tom Johnson do here. And you can donate to them with that $10, and the donations can be dropped off at Classic Cafe, Jones Fort, New West Medical Incorporated on Churn Creek, and Eagles Landing at 3300 Bocelli Lane. Speaking of big events on the weekend.
Sports.
No, okay. Oh. We're going to get closer than that.
Football.
We're going to get to Ducky Derby.
Oh, yeah.
We've been helping with Ducky Derby since we've been a radio station. And this year, Marge was on the show. Marge Beck's on the show. And as she said, it was a lot bigger than last year. Over 34,000 ducks dropped, dunked, and raced down to Sacramento. Can you believe that? 34,000 ducks. They had over 2,000 volunteers helping to mark the ducks, name the ducks, so that when they went into the water, that everybody, every one of them had a little name, a little barcode.
A little name and a little barcode.
A little
name
and barcode.
That's our future.
34,000 ducks. And over the time, over the years of Ducky Derby, they've given over $3 million to children here. So, and then the winner, I think the young lady who sold the most ducks, I think it was like 500. She sold like over 500 ducks. And her name is Simplicity Nogle. Is that a great name? Simplicity Nogle.
That is a great name.
She sold 507 tickets.
Now, that used to be, I'm curious if that was a family name, because there used to be, when you would sew, and Brenda would know this, Bob, Simplicity was a pattern. You would go in and buy from sewing Simplicity patterns. So, mm-hmm. Curious.
She's 9 years old. I wonder if we can get her on the show one morning. Just get her on before school and say, Simplicity. Thank you for what you did. How'd you sell 509 tickets? The closest one after that was like 110. She has outsold whole schools by herself. And her dad said she did it all herself. So, shout out to Simplicity Nogle.
Now, do I have the top stories of what's happening across the nation and the world? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll kind of go through those and see if there's one that you really want to elaborate on. I'm sure one's going to hit your Achilles. We'll be right back. Good morning on this Monday. It's KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Redding City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Redding City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
If you want more than just to sleep every night, if you're looking for luxurious comfort and near total freedom from motion transfer, look to Cresson's Mattress Gallery on Athens Avenue and the best in class luxury in mattresses. The AH Beard line, manufactured with 100% natural wool to wick moisture away and control body temperature. All this provides the maximum in comfort and quality sleep every night at a truly amazing price with the best 20-year non-prorated warranty in the industry. And let's face it, you're worth it. See the AH Beard mattress line along with adjustable beds, futons, organic sheets and pillows, mattress pads, and much more, including Organipedic by OMI, the purest mattress made and manufactured right here in Northern California. Only a family-owned and operated Cresson's Mattress Gallery, your complete sleep headquarters, with the largest mattress inventory in the North State. You'll find the very best prices every day at Cresson's. Plus, you'll always receive 12 months no-interest OAC. Ask Steve, Lance, Travis, or Shane about Cresson's 60-night comfort guarantee. Only at Cresson's Mattress Gallery, 2355 Athens Avenue, next to the Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Quality sleep at an affordable price.
To Paint Mart for service and quality.
Bye, honey.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to the Paint Mart. I want to match paint colors with wallpaper and new window blinds.
And just how are you going to do all that?
Paint Mart has this wonderful new PPG Voice of Color touchscreen where you can design paint colors, pick and choose PPG paints for walls and trim. Then I can pick out my wallpaper, blinds, and drapes, all with the ease of a large touchscreen. It's great.
At the Paint Mart, we have a design consultant to help you select the perfect PPG paint for interior, exterior, primers, and stains, including low VOC options with elegant, durable finishes and over 1,900 colors to choose from. We also carry wallpaper, custom blinds, draperies, and shutters. Paint smart with the paint professionals at the Paint Mart, home of quality PPG paint, Redding, Anderson, and Red Bluff.
Come to Paint Mart.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460.
Monday morning.
Monday morning. It is 7:18 in the morning. Today we're having, of course, our usual catch-up on the weekend and things that are going on. But Mike DeQuisto, running for Redding City Council, will be our guest today. Tomorrow, Haven Humane. Wednesday, Brent Weaver. Thursday, Brad Long for the veterans organizations here in town. And, of course, Friday in studio, sitting right across from us, Congressman Doug LaMalfa. So we've got a lot of questions I asked the congressman, you know, on everything, including are we going back to war again? And if we are, why are we cutting the military down and then taking at the same time as we're cutting the military down and forcing really good men and women out, are we taking illegals in? I'm not exactly sure how this works. I'm sure that, though, the congressman will explain that to me.
And then on Friday morning as well at 7:30, we have the Soroptimus gals on as well as the speaker. There is a, you know, they always have a keynote speaker that comes in to town that is riveting. Their speakers are always amazing. It's sold out, the luncheon, and Becky Olson, and she's going to be talking about her book, Breast Friends. And some of these girls have just been amazing. Now let's talk about what's happening on the top stories of when I go on and see what's trending social or what the top stories are. Carl, I was hoping that you would. All right, Bob. The top stories are the poll: 70% of troops oppose boots on the ground.
70% of the troops they poll
oppose boots on the ground.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing: is we've had boots on the ground. We won the war, and then Obama and his administration managed to leave nobody there, which then, as any military tactician, strategist, or anybody just kind of like pays attention to the papers might have seen, it's oh gosh, it'd be like Afghanistan. We left after that. There's just going to be bad guys filling that vacuum. Oh my gosh, how long is it going to take? Oh, 3 years.
7 out of 10 of the more than 2,200 active duty respondents to this year's Military Times poll opposes the idea of sending substantial U.S. ground forces back into Iraq to battle the Islamic State militants and their allies. In addition, over the past 4 years of the annual poll, the percentage of active duty troops who believe the first U.S. war in Iraq was a success has declined significantly.
Well, the reason for that is that because we won that war, we established order, and then we left them in a vacuum there. And now the only thing they're seeing is it's coming back. Oh, so obviously we didn't win if it comes back. And they're right. We had won that war on the ground as we did, and as we won the war in Vietnam on the ground, as we won the war in Korea on the ground, as we've won other wars on the ground, and we have lost it in the political halls of Congress and in the White House.
Okay, let me turn that off. In Los Angeles, California has defined in law just when yes means yes on college campuses. The state Senate unanimously approved legislation Thursday that, according to a sponsor, will change how campus officials investigate sexual assault allegations. Governor Jerry Brown announced Sunday night that he has signed the bill.
Okay, now I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about this, but that's because I'm going to bring this one back up later.
Okay.
So come on, what's the next one?
Okay, let's see if we can pull this one
and
up.
And frankly, lawyers ought to be just licking their chops over this one.
Okay, Bob, I'm not sure if I have a feeling that maybe you are a Simpsons fan or have been.
The Simpsons.
Isn't it?
Okay. What is it?
You did it great. Spoiler alert.
If you don't want to hear what happens to The Simpsons, you don't want to listen to this.
There's a little bit of plot points on this one. Are you an avid watcher, or do you kind of?
I used to be, and then it sort of recycled an awful lot of material, but it does have the distinction now of the longest running animated series ever.
I bet the other Bob watches it all the time.
Okay, now, The Simpsons 26 premiere featured the tears of a clown along with the usual laughs as Krusty the Clown mourns the death of his father, Rabbi Hyman Krestovsky. That's in headline news. Thought I'd let you know.
So they killed him off.
We know that her retrial begins. George Clooney, of course, got married. That's big celebrity news. Obama aide deal leaves 10,000 troops in Afghanistan. We can go over that. Chicago flights. They said it's about 2 weeks before the flights because of
the fire.
2 weeks. That should really, really have a ripple effect, don't you think? It's going to have such a ripple effect on our economy.
Well, it does because of the fact that so many flights go through there in that area. I have a ripple effect in the economy, but it'll have a ripple effect on how you get around. So, okay, what else was that?
Okay,
did it say anything about what's going on in with Obama and ISIS in his speech?
No, it does not say that. Now I could change to another. I go between different news agencies or news. Okay, this is an opinion. Voices why Hispanics shouldn't boycott election. When President Obama announced earlier this month that he would break his self-imposed deadline and delay changes to the nation's immigrant system until after November's election, immigrant groups responded with a mixture of shock, disappointment, and rage.
Well, everybody should, because it's such a political notion. His party's in trouble. Not that he really cares, because frankly, I don't think Obama cares about too many things, unless it's on his own specific agenda. He's not making executive orders before the election, because it'll just cost the Democrats dramatically. But the Hispanics just said, oh. The people that want to have, amnesty at all levels didn't like that.
Now, Obama did give, was on 60 Minutes for a complete over the weekend, or when was that?
Sunday. Well, when you use the word complete with President Obama, it does not compute. I don't know if it computes with any president who says complete. This is the complete truth.
Well, we're going
I don't believe that.
Going up on our 13th anniversary, I think, of being at war. Here in also a headline is some senior advisors to U.S. President Obama said Monday that Afghanistan will sign a deal Tuesday to allow American soldiers to remain in the country past the end of the year. John Podesta speaking to a news conference in the U.S. Embassy in Kabul.
They're talking about 10,000 troops being left in Afghanistan to try and be that fire brigade that you have with that should have stayed in Iraq, and you wouldn't have had this problem. But his talk about what he wants to do in against ISIS is he's in a quandary here because he wants Syria's President Assad to be overthrown, yet when he's attacking ISIS, he's helping Assad. He's like Assad's air force because ISIS was one of the major groups that was poised to try and take Assad out. Now, do you want ISIS to control an entire nation, an entire country with everything that goes along with that? No, of course not, because they are – what's the word I can use? It's not just terrorists. That's not even an exact word. They are like Cro-Magnons. They are Neanderthals go back and see what they do to people. This is just incredibly horrible. I mean, just the beheadings, is the murders, the things they do to children. The fact that if you say that I'm a Christian, I want to change from a Muslim to a Christian, I will stone you to death. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this group of people and the amount of money they make every day by selling black market oil. That's why we went after the oil fields. You got to take the money away from them. In fact, if there wasn't any oil in the Middle East, who knows how big terrorism would be? How would it be sponsored? But the other thing, too, is that here we are talking about putting boots on the ground. Oh, no, I'll never put boots on the ground. Yet everybody else in his chain of command, including his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the CIA, other people are going, I don't see how we can beat them without putting boots on the ground. Well, we've got 500 sets of boots on the ground that are training the Iraqi forces because we left them in a condition they could fight. Within 3 years, they cannot fight. And why should they? They've been, there's been intramural firefights going on there. There's been a number of reasons. Their money's been taken away. Their weapons, all of these things happen. All this because President Obama couldn't sign a status of forces agreement. He couldn't sign a status of forces agreement. He didn't understand. He says he was so busy to get us out of there, he didn't even look down the road 3 years. Any 21-year-old private in the Marine Corps could have told him, you take these forces out, and this is what's going to happen. He didn't listen. He doesn't listen. He does the same thing over and over again. Now the peace president, Nobel Peace Prize president, is attacking. He's launching attacks. And now if he was going to fight ISIS at some point, if you're going to destroy him, you're going to have to put troops in. Because no matter what you do, you can bomb them and they just hide. If you're going to take the ground, you've got to hold it with a set of boots and a bayonet.
I love that. Sometimes I go, Carl, get your face out of your iPad. But it's something that you just love to do. You are reading, keeping yourself abreast. And here's like your Monday morning test. I'm just going across the headlines and saying, what do you think of this? And I love that. Okay, here's another one. In Moscow, anti-Russian protesters in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, pulled down a massive statue of Vladimir Lenin late Sunday, a sign of hardening anger towards the Kremlin in an eastern Ukrainian area where sympathies are split between Kyiv and Moscow. The pro-European protests that swept Ukraine in the winter were accompanied by a wave of Lenin statues being pulled down, eliminating symbolic vestiges of the Soviet Union that had endured after its 1991 breakup.
Well, again, Putin has been running kind of rampant in Europe because he senses weakness in our president and our foreign policy, and he's absolutely true. We can put these restrictions on him, and all he has to do is say, hey, I might just turn off the oil pipeline that's going into Europe. And are we ready to start pushing even more oil over there? And when we're, buying oil from our enemies, people that that advocate or not, if they don't advocate it overtly, it's covertly by giving money to terrorists. And again, it's when you get into this, the total story here is our foreign policy Our foreign policy is just in tatters. And I don't know how else to say this. And if anybody, you know, I mean, you need to take a look at our foreign policy. You have to look at Egypt, which is, you know, which is being run by the army. You've got Syria, which is in a huge, you know, battles, and he's still using chemical weapons. You have Libya. Oh, let's take out Gaddafi. Okay, Gaddafi's gone, so rebel groups are fighting each other, and you can't tell who controls the airport from day to day. And, of course, there's Benghazi out of Libya. And then, you look at what's happening in Saudi Arabia. They're afraid to go one way or the other on this. And then Iran. Let's talk about Iran. And are they slowing down their nukes? Does anybody know? Are we trying to be friends with them? And, of course, Iraq. We spent so many lives, so much time there, and it's a disaster.
Yeah,
it's
unless
just a disaster.
Or actually
and, I mean,
there.
Where else? I mean, what else has he done, I mean, geopolitically, that's had a favorable impact?
We only know what we're told and what we read, Carl, because as we both know, why we were in foreign countries, living in foreign countries and dealing with people in foreign countries, only then did we hear kind of the inside thing. And many times it would not hit the States for weeks about things that were going on. One of them, which was Hong Kong. I mean, you know, of course we woke up to the shock of that. Let's talk a little bit about that when we get back from the break.
All right, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's getting close to gift time, and you can get any type of gift when it has coffee or boxes of cigars from the finest walk-in humidor.
Have
in the
a stogie
state.
And talk politics.
There you go. Come on out and get around the fire with us, and that's a good time to do it. And Tobacco and Brew has everything you could possibly imagine for making coffee with Espresso Joes, including the coffee itself and the makers. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with Sit-Down Dinner, Live and Silent Auction, and Basket Drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Nail upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott,
good morning.
It is 7:34 in the morning, 60 degrees out there. 605-4567 is our phone number. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Orchard Nutrition. The largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. In-store delis, classes on health and diet and raw foods, everything. All down at Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Give them a call at 244-9141. Who hasn't heard of Jack the Ripper? Well, our next guest. Carrie, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. Carrie Parks. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, now you are a forensics expert, is that correct?
I'm a forensic artist, yes.
Okay, now, what came out a few weeks ago was somebody that said they have identified Jack the Ripper through DNA. And when I saw that, and I think soon after that, I received something from your organization, and you thought, well, gosh, could they have really identified Jack the Ripper? But this is your bailiwick, right?
Well, in a sense, I am the author of the book A Cry from the Dust, which is a work of fiction, and a gentleman named Russell Edwards came up with a story, which is also a work of fiction. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about just exactly what he's saying.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's it, because when he came out, I mean, it splashed all over the world. And then, but then there's, not so fast.
Right. So let's talk about it a little bit. What Russell Edwards claimed was that on March 2007, a shawl was put up for auction. This shawl was claimed to have been found next to the body of Catherine Eddowes and taken by an acting sergeant named Amos Simpson, who asked permission to take it home to his wife. On the shawl, according to family legend, was the blood of Catherine Eddowes. It was put into a trunk for many, many years, eventually donated to the Scotland Yard Museum, but then eventually it was also returned because they really had no history of it beyond the family lore. Russell Edwards picked up the shawl, took it in, and had it tested, and lo and behold, on the shawl was the blood of the mitochondrial DNA of Catherine Eddowes' descendant and the DNA of a man named Aaron Kosminski. Well, this sounded really, really, really good.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like, oh, gosh, we have both here. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody loves DNA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, how can this be? I mean, how incredible. Until you actually look a little bit further into the story. When they found Catherine Eddowes, who was murdered on the evening of early in the morning, September 30th, 1888, at 1:45 in the morning, there's only a 10-minute window in which Ripper got to the woman, but he pretty well killed her. Once they found the body, they started gathering all the police, and they went from door to door, pounding on the door, street to street, looking for Ripper because he had just been there. They also collected evidence at the scene, everything from a pair of brown stockings, to a couple of white rags, a thimble, some buttons. They collected everything around her and took it in. Now, we're to believe in the original story that going door to door and frantically looking for him, picking up all this evidence, that this 6-foot-long by 2-foot-wide pure silk shawl lying next to her was not only not picked up, but they said, oh, the shawl, yeah, sure, you can take that home to your wife. I mean, it is, of course, the only evidence we have of Ripper, but go ahead, because we're not going to use it. I mean, the whole first story doesn't work. It was never taken into inventory, and there is no such person as Sergeant Amos Simpson that's recorded on the scene. So, okay, the shawl wasn't there, but how did that DNA get on the shawl, even if it wasn't there? We talk about cross-contamination or something like that, but there's actually a little bit more easy answer to that, and that is that Russell Edwards collected the DNA from the descendant of Catherine Eddowes. So he has in his possession both the shawl and the DNA, instead of having a third party do the collecting.
Okay, so what, I think I see the end of this, is that he's put this well, together for what reason? To sell it or just because the guy is wealthy, isn't he?
That I'm not sure of, but okay. I would say he did it for an incredible book launch, is really what it comes down to.
Oh, that's
what
right.
What he had was a work of fiction.
And now he has put out there who it is, and he's got, quote, proof.
Right. And, of course, the other person he collected the DNA from, supposedly the descendant of Aaron Kosminski, we're not told the name. He said, I've got this DNA, and it matches Aaron Kosminski, but I'm not going to tell you who it comes from.
Oh, that's even more weird.
Let's talk a little bit about Carrie Stewart's history here. If you go to her site, she is an award-winning artist and internationally known forensic artist. Along with her husband, Rick, she travels across the U.S. and Canada teaching courses in forensic art to law enforcement as well as civilian participants. She has won numerous awards for her career excellence. She is a popular platform speaker presenting a variety of topics from crime to creativity. Curious about your book again. One more time, how we can come to find your book, read your book. Are you going to be anywhere on the West Coast for some kind of where we can come hear you speak?
Well, I have some areas I'm coming to. My book is available in Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and all the usual outlets. It's also available through Christian bookstores. My mentor was a man named Frank Peretti, who is a New York Times bestselling author, who mentored me in writing for about 10 years. Took that long. I guess I'm a slow learner. I travel across country teaching forensic art. I will be coming to the Bay Area, to Palo Alto, in December, and we usually try to get to California 3 times a year. A great place for forensic art. We have some incredible students down there.
Now, Carrie, your book, A Cry from the Dust, is a novel, right?
It is a novel, but it's based on true historical facts. It starts out with an event called the Mountain Meadows Massacre, which occurred in 1857 when 120 unarmed men, women, and children were slaughtered by Mormon fanatics named Avenging Angels.
I've read about that. I've read about that in history.
Yes, it was.
They take the children? Didn't they kill everybody? But they took the children and raised them, didn't they?
They took 17 children all under the age of 8.
Right.
And the two amazing things about that was the largest domestic terrorist attack on U.S. soil until the Oklahoma City case and much, much later. And secondly, the last day of the standoff, the day of the massacre, was September 11th.
Wow.
Scary.
Wow. Carrie, we've got just a few minutes here. It's absolutely fascinating talking to you and for what you do. And now I'm going to go get A Cry in the Dust because I am now extremely interested because that period of time interests me. And I can get that through Amazon or other places or?
Yes. Very widely available.
Okay. The final thing is this whole thing about I found Jack the Ripper is nothing but not true. It's the nicest thing I could say, I guess.
It's kind of along the lines of if I claim that I found Joseph Smith and he was murdered at Mountain Meadows, which is sort of the premise of the book.
Okay.
So you take a fictional account and you say, okay, this is how it really happened. It didn't happen in my book. It didn't happen in his book.
Well, you know, it's I thank you so much for being with us today. And again, the
Carrie Stewart Park,
Carrie Stewart Park,
and that's C A R R I E
Stewart Parks. You can also go to her website. It's quite fascinating to see Carrie, and along with many of her accomplishments. She is an AKC judge and president of the Great Pyrenees Club of America. So we love animal lovers.
You have a lot of time on your hands, huh?
Jeez.
Hey, Carrie, A Cry from the Dust, a story about what it starts out with the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Right, Mountain Meadows Massacre, and I can't wait to
Carl's
get the rest
get
of
both.
This. Yeah, I'm going to get do this.
I so. Love it.
Anyway, Carrie, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okay. Carl and DeBott here. It's 7:44 in the morning.
It segues into when we take a break.
Yeah.
We have a gal here who is from Safe Havens Horse Rescues, and there's an event coming up that we're going to be talking about. Speaking of horse, I mean, and animal lovers, this is a fascinating and fun event that happens every year. It's that time again. It's happening October 18th. And we'll be with our guests right after these messages here on KCNR 1460.
Day by day, people getting ready for the blues. Some are happy, some are sad.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, Drips, so Drops, you've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater, pure and simple, naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on
Good
KCNR
morning.
1460. 7:48 in the morning, September the 29th, 60 degrees out there. Good morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, across the street from Sierra Gibbs. State jewelry of the very best quality, and you can find everything that you could possibly want in jewelry at Four Winds Jewelry at great prices. And Leonard will help you with any of your jewelry purchases. And the only trained watch repairman is in the northern area up here in Northern California is right there at Four Winds Jewelry.
All right. We've got a special guest with us, Linda Richards, who is with the Safe Haven Horse Rescue. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great. It just feels like this was just not too long ago that we had you on, which is this time last year.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So you have an event coming up. I'm seeing that it's like it's free to and fun to watch.
Yeah. Participants can come. Everybody can come and watch. It's a fall our fall play day. We're going to have costume classes where people can dress up their horses and all. It's a fundraiser for us. So there's entry fees for the people that ride their horses into the events. Then we have a snack bar and raffle and all kinds of fun stuff, too, available.
Give us some stories about horse rescue. And are you – so you're associated with Safe Haven?
Yes. I'm the president and founder of Safe Haven. It's almost been in existence for 20 years. We've helped thousands of horses. We have approximately 60 horses at Safe Haven at the moment. Probably 15 of them are available for adoption into good homes. We have a sponsorship program at $65 a month. It's a way for people that don't have a horse, can't afford one, don't have a place for one. They can come out to Safe Haven and sponsor one of our horses. And they can come out there and learn how to ride, learn how to take care of it, and just have the joy of having a horse without all the real expense and overhead.
Right.
So that's another way of helping us. We're a nonprofit, no-kill. Rescue and sanctuary, volunteer-based, donation-supported. Mm-hmm. So the adoption fees help pay for everything the horses need. The fundraisers like the Fall Play Day, all that goes back in to what the horses need.
Mm-hmm. Where are you located?
We're on West Anderson Drive in Cottonwood off of Gas Point Road.
Okay.
The event will be at Bobby Jones Arena next to the Shasta Auction Yard in Cottonwood.
Oh, yeah. That's new, isn't it? Nice.
Oh, no, that's been there for many,
many
years.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So there is, from what I understand, when you go, was it? Or maybe that's Red Bluff, where there's a new, right when you get off the freeway, there's an arena.
Oh, that's down at the casino.
Oh, okay.
Outside of Corning. Yeah, I wish we had that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Okay, so yours is in Cottonwood.
Yeah.
Now, what is a Jim Kahana?
Jim Kahana is just a speed events.
Okay.
Like barrels and poles and different things. And what we do with our event, we have a lot of fun things. And everybody goes in their divisions based on their riding ability, not their age. So everybody has a fair chance of riding against the same experienced rider.
Mm-hmm.
And so we added one year a few years ago as our over 35 events, and that's a lot of fun because a lot of the older people that come in, not that 35 is old by
no
means.
Yeah, but are you talking about horses or people?
People, not horses. No. We actually,
well, I can enter that one.
We actually just lost one of our horses that was 35 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so it's amazing how long they will live with good care. But so we have beginner, walk, trot, intermediate, slow, you know, advanced, and then the over 35. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just a fun day to bring your horse, come out and have a good time and support Safe Haven.
How'd you get involved with horse rescue?
I had my own horse as a child growing up. I started out as a vet technician at 16 years old. And I was working full time, and it was just I needed to find someone to take care of him because he was so used to me being there all the time. And as you know, kids go to college and everything else, you need to have something for them. And so I found a 15-year-old little girl that loved him to death and took great care of him just like I did. And so all these years later, I thought, you know, there might be people that still have an issue or need help with their horses. Well, here we are almost 20 years later and thousands of horses. We get horses that are headed to slaughter. We get, you know, save them from going to slaughter. We have people that can't afford them or moving out of the area, foreclosure, death in the family.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of horses we get from animal control that have been taken away from people that aren't taking care of them. It just never ends.
And so you were saying that last year with the fire,
we were
taking a lot of horses, but this year felt like more people were prepared.
I think they were because we made ourselves available to either transport or house the horses out at Safe Haven, and I didn't have to do any for anybody. But a couple of times there was a couple of close calls that we needed to help transport out, but somehow the fire department and you know everybody got everything taken care of, so we didn't have to evacuate any horses this year.
Well, again, the event is Saturday, October 18th.
Right.
It's free to the public.
Right.
Of course, it's a fundraiser, too, so I'm sure you'll have, sell raffle tickets?
We'll have raffle tickets. We have a really nice snack bar with a lot of different goodies on it. We might have a 50-50 raffle, and then So it's a fun day for everybody. Bring the kids, come on down and have a good time.
So you have beginner walk, trot, intermediate, slow slope, advanced, full run, and over 35, all levels. That
right.
is for our horse people that are listening to know that if you want to enter, those are what you have. Four divisions, three lead lines, two level of costume classes.
Yeah, the costumes are funny.
Oh, well, you know, people dress up their dogs, so why wouldn't they dress up their horses?
Exactly. And it's $35 for the whole day if they want to participate in all the events.
Wow.
Or it's just $5 per class if they just want to do a couple events.
So this is a benefit for the horses at Safe Haven Horse Rescue, which is, you know, it's an amazing thing. Again, we talked about this last year. I think that when you do something like this, it's a calling. It's like, how can I not?
Right. Exactly.
How can I not do this? And we're very fortunate that there's someone like Linda who comes forward and decides that they're going to put their energy into something that is a wonderful way for our animals and our beloved horses. Because when they're born and they get adopted out or get bought or something, they don't have a choice. It's like pets. They don't have a choice.
Right,
it's like
exactly.
how are they going to live out the rest of their lives?
Right. Exactly. We've gotten horses in from families that have passed away, and so they'll live their lives with Safe Haven. But they can go to our website, safehavenhorserescue.org, and they can also go on Safe Haven Horse Rescue's and Sanctuary's Facebook page. So there's a lot of information.
Well, great. Thank you, Linda.
You name it, you've got it.
Yes, definitely.
Saturday, October the 18th at the Bobby Jones Arena in Cottonwood. And sign up start at 7 a.m. and events start at 9 a.m. All ages, all levels.
Yes. Just come out and have a great time.
Adopt, sponsor, foster, volunteer, donate. And for more information, call 347-1941. Did I read that right?
No, 347-4941.
Oh, 4941.
Yeah, 4941.
Okay. You've got to make these letters bigger for me.
Yeah.
Separate entries for each horse, boots and jeans required. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. October 18th, mark your calendars.
The other thing we were going to talk about was you said you had Hong Kong protesters going.
Well, we talked about that earlier about how there was protesting that happened in the city in the city of Hong Kong. They are the whole thing is about defying Beijing with calls of democracy. And what we were talking about earlier was that, you know, I was talking to Carl this morning. I said, how deadly. Or is it deadly tear gas? I mean, we were watching a reporter that was in the middle of Hong Kong reporting on this, and what happens to him? You know, he's in the middle of a tear gas throw, and thank God he had a mask with him. I said, you know, have travel, you know, media will travel with gas mask at all time. I just, you know, he put his gas mask on and ran and said, I'm okay, but I'm not really sure. Carl was telling me that, you know, tear gas, is temporary, but I thought about, what about those people who have really bad asthma? Is that so temporary?
Probably a bad idea. Well, considering that that regime has not been known to, you know, be light with force, as the folks who were at Tiananmen, the tear gas is probably one of the milder things that could have been employed.
This is Hong Kong, too, though. I mean, and you think about Hong Kong, it's kind of like the nerve center for much of the economy over there in Asia. Hey, other news. Oakland Raider coach gets fired.
What?
Oakland Raider coach got fired. They thought that might happen. I just saw that. They have the 0-4. They got beat up really bad by the Dolphins, who are not having a great year either. Their quarterback's injured again. And so their coach, from what I just saw, went across the line, he was fired. And a lot, you know, I heard that yesterday on a show. They said coach is in the hot seat, and he was one of them. And they said, here's the worst part. It's a bye week. A bye week means, you know, they have that game off this coming week, which means is it gives them a chance to bring in the other coach, and he has 2 weeks to kind of learn the offense and defense and to start something new. Or they could just bring somebody up from that's there, an assistant coach. Anyway.
What do you think about firing a coach in the middle of a season?
Well, they do that because, well, they can't go downhill. They're already getting beat. They haven't won a game yet, and they haven't even looked good in the games. They've only looked good in one game this year. So you can't fire the entire team. Let me put it this way. You can't fire the entire team, so who do you fire? You fire the coach. And they didn't fire him just for one season. He hasn't had a good season. I don't think they've had a real good season in the last few years. Should our daily water use be limited. Some towns and communities are doing this now. They are figuring out the number of people in a home, how big the area is for the home, and they are starting to put restrictions on how much water they can have. The average family uses something like 88 gallons of water per person a day. They want to drop it down to 68. And the state says, well, you know what? We're not getting into this. However, well, gosh, what a good idea. You know, and so if you see this going on down further, I mean, can they, you know, can the city and the counties, can they put, like, you can only use this much water? Well, how do they do that? Well, that's easy. They will keep raising the price on the rates until it gets cost prohibitive to use more than that. So at what point do you cut back? And the thing is, well, you don't need more than 68 gallons per day per person in a house. And I'm thinking, okay, so that's 100, that would be 136 gallons of water a day for you and I in the house. Do they count Elk Killer? I mean, because she drinks a lot of water.
Did you say that we would be limited to 136 gallons a day?
Well, if for two people. I think they said they wanted it to be 68 gallons per person per day in a household.
Could we live on that?
Not counting what goes on outside your house.
Yes.
You know. Well, of course you can. You can. You can live on a lot less. But we have to run because we have a break in the news. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama is acknowledging that U.S. intelligence agencies underestimated the threat from Islamic State militants and overestimated the ability and will of Iraq's army to fight. He also stressed in an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes that the strategy of helping Iraq rid the country of terrorist groups is different than the previous U.S. ground wars in the region.
Counterterrorism and the sort of occupying armies that characterized the Iraq and Afghan war. That's very different from us having 150,000 troops in Iraq on the ground, or 60,000 in Afghanistan.
Meanwhile, this unidentified smuggler told Britain's Sky News that he's helped hundreds of would-be fighters for the Islamic State group cross the border from Turkey into Syria.
They often cross with their families, their wives and children. They tell us we're coming to fight for Islamic State and live there. Some of them don't even know where they're going. They just say, we're going to the Islamic State.
In a different kind of war altogether, the one against a deadly virus, an American doctor exposed to Ebola has been admitted to a hospital at the National Institutes of Health near Washington.
The patient has not been identified, but the NIH says the physician is in a special isolation unit out of an abundance of caution. Officials say the doctor was exposed to Ebola while volunteering in Sierra Leone, but has not necessarily contracted the virus. Four other American aid workers who were infected with Ebola while volunteering in the West African outbreak have been treated at hospitals in Georgia and Nebraska.
That is SRN's Greg Cluxton reporting. Residents of the Phoenix area greeted yesterday morning by toppled trees and debris-littered streets. This man says his mother-in-law's roof was destroyed.
She said a lot of air, a lot of wind just came through the house.
And he spoke to KSAZ-TV about the effects of the rain and wind. This is SRN News.
His insight on parenting has informed a generation. Now, Dr. James Dobson introduces his book and 8-part film series for a new generation, Building a Family Legacy. To celebrate this launch, you're invited to attend a free simulcast of the first film, titled Your Legacy, any night from October 1st through the 5th.
This film series represents a legacy of love and care that I've tried to leave to my own family.
For a location nearest you, go to buildingafamilylegacy.com. That's buildingafamilylegacy.com.
Welcome aboard Pancon Flight 257 to London.
The world you know is about to change in an instant.
People from all over this plane have simply vanished.
On October 3rd, the end begins.
He took them to protect them from the darkest time in the history of this world.
Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage stars in Left Behind, based on the New York Times bestseller.
Looks like the end of the world.
Left Behind, in theaters October 3rd, rated PG-13. Parents strongly caution. Find a theater near you at leftbehindmovie.com.
The Federal Aviation Administration says it's now replacing the entire central computer network at a Chicago area control center after it was deliberately set on fire last week. How will that continue to affect travelers? Daniel Baker is CEO of the flight tracking company FlightAware.com.
Over the coming days and weeks, I think the travelers should be prepared for an extended disruption. I don't think Monday morning is going to result in all on-time flights as if nothing had taken place on Friday, and people should just set their expectations accordingly.
Meanwhile, the FAA also says it is improving direct communication between other facilities now handling the bulk of Chicago's air traffic. At the height of the travel miseries on Friday, officials canceled more than 2,000 flights into and out of the airports, disrupting travel nationwide, and it is continuing to have an ongoing effect as several flights are expected to be either canceled or delayed this week. This is SRN News. A quarterly survey of 46 economic forecasters is generally predicting steady growth for the rest of the year after a rough start. NABE president, that's the National Association for Business Economics president, John Sylvia, says the outlook is for continued strong job growth.
The unemployment rate continues to decline, ending, basically at 6% or so this year and dipping below 6% next year. So that's pretty solid. And then the job gains, again, continue to improve at 228,000.
Consumer income and spending were both on the rise in August. The Commerce Department says spending rose 0.5%, while incomes were up 0.3%. Economist John Canale at LPL Financial.
There are a lot of pretty good supports for spending, and this, there's pretty good job growth. The household net worth is at an all-time high. The economy itself seems to be accelerating here, and that seemed to show up in the August spending data.
More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. 8:05 in the morning, September the 29th, Monday. Good morning, my friends. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning there, Bad Bob.
And howdy.
We had an eventful weekend with the air show.
It was fun to watch.
It was. It was great. Taught a concealed carry class for women only.
Uh-huh.
It's a great class. We really, Ted Leidy and I really, really like teaching the classes for
No Visible Wounds.
No Visible Wounds. No, and you know why? They're better classes. They listen. Unlike men who seem to think they know everything about guns because they are men. And women ask questions. They say, well, what about this? What about this? And we go over the safety, especially the safety part of it all the time. And that, that makes a big difference, especially when you're out on the range. So, hey, the weather today, sunny with a high near 81. Calm winds becoming south-southwest around 6 p.m., 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 83. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 85. Thursday, sunny with a high near 91. And it looks like this is going to be the whole week. It's going to be a nice week, but the temperatures are starting to drop. And the weather's always brought to you by our friends from Shasta Gas Propane. Well, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Locally owned and operated, senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. Let's go to the phones, and we have Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Bob. How y'all doing?
We're fine. We're here sitting here with Michael DeQuisto, too. We're going to be interviewing Mike here about why anybody wants to become a member of the Reading City Council here.
It's got to be the pay, right, Mike?
Yes.
It's the pay. There you go. You know what? I'd love that. You know, it's the type of thing is, well, I do it for the pay. The pay is $500 a month, and you take that much abuse, from your wife over this. Anyway, Terry, big things going on.
Big things going on tonight. And Mike, you might be interested in this. I know that you're very interested in the Constitution, and you probably know who I'm going to talk about. Tonight at 2570 Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church at 6 p.m., we have Chris Ann Hall speaking. She is probably the best speaker on the Constitution in the United States. She's coming from Florida. She's beginning with us. There is no charge for this tonight. She is the most amazing speaker I've ever heard in my life. Someone who can make anyone understand and follow and connect the dots on how we got to the Constitution, about the Constitution. Just a marvelous, marvelous speaker. And that starts at 6 p.m.
That sounds really great. And, the thing is that most people, and this, the sad part, Terry, is that many, many people don't understand how we got here and why our country is really stands alone in the world with that Constitution, our freedoms we have.
Well, I just got a study sent to me this morning that only 36% of the people in America can name all three branches of government.
You know, I saw that also, and I find that very, very scary.
I got to tell you a funny story really quick. You guys are both going to love this. What happened is we were doing a town hall, and a lady came up, and I offered her a constitution, and she looked at me and kind of rattled her jewelry a little bit and looked at me and said, there's so many versions of that. I just don't want to read that one.
So many versions.
So many versions of the Constitution, yep. Well, yeah, make this stuff up, my friend.
Well, you know, there's people out there that say it's a living document.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
Thanks a lot,
Trey. It's tonight.
Hope to see you all tonight again. An amazing, amazing speaker.
Address?
One of the best in the United States. You certainly won't be sorry, and there is no charge for this tonight.
Address one more time.
2570 Bonnie View Road, Destiny Fellowship Church.
At 6 p.m. Thanks a lot, Terry.
You betcha.
Okay. Hey, our guest today is Mike DeQuisto, as we've just said, who is running for Reading City Council.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. Where's Linda? She left.
Well, no, she's out there talking to Dave.
Oh, okay.
Who came in a second before you did.
Give that man a button.
There you go. Where's Linda? Mike, your slogan says, take our town back.
It says, let's take back our city.
Okay, let's take back our city. Well, but see, it's the part is that you remember that there's that slogan there. Let's take back our city. Take back our city from somebody?
Well, I look at it as a positive statement, not a negative statement. And that's why it starts with let's, meaning let us take it back. And it's a way to help empower all the citizens of Reading to try to feel like they are more in control of their lives and of what's going on around them and what's going on in the government. And that's what it's meant to be, is a positive affirmation. We can do this together. The government represents the citizens, but the government is not the citizens.
Is the government representing us? The city government? I mean, since you said it.
I think that they try to represent the people. I think it's impossible to represent everybody and have everybody be happy with all your decisions all the time because human nature is such that not everybody agrees with everything. I think the current city council tries to represent everybody, but I think that it has some difficulty in deciding where to go. I mean, sometimes it's like there's five separate minds up there with five separate ideas. And we can talk about this a lot more, but I think the crime issue is a very clear example of there is no unified approach on the council as to what to do.
Well, that's our first question, is the crime situation. As you know, back in July, we had this town hall meeting, which was a huge success, a huge turnout. And yet since then, I've seen nothing really that's happened, have you?
Well,
besides the bike patrol came out, but have we seen any changes?
We've heard a lot of talk, but I have not seen any positive changes. And well, I shouldn't say no positive changes. The bike patrol is a positive change.
It's a positive change.
I haven't seen any substantive changes, and we can get back into this. I wrote a letter a couple weeks before the town hall meeting in which I indicated there was some money in the reserves that the city had that had not been allocated for any specific purpose. And that we should use it to hire community service officers. And the purpose of the letter was not to engage in a discussion over how much money we have, because I think we all agree we have substantial amounts in excess of what the city's supposed to keep. The purpose of the letter was to say, let's get past the question of how do we pay for it, and let's discuss what we should do. Because the people right now who are on the losing end are the citizens. Nothing other than the bike patrols that I've seen is being done. You could have taken some of this money and get it and started the process of hiring community service officers, and that hasn't happened.
Yet when you're saying that with the money in the fund that's the surplus,
yes,
and yet you have city council members who are saying that's not true, it's not there.
Well, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, and it doesn't do the voters any good to have us get into a he said, she said, or he said, he said statement. That's part of the problem with the city council, is they won't sit and listen and decide how to compromise among themselves. So leaving out – if you want to have a discussion about what the number is, that's fine. That's a subject for the city council. I don't think anybody disputes that there are substantial funds available from the general fund that are not assigned to any purpose that could be assigned to the police. If the city council wants to stand up and say, we owe $5 million, and I'm just picking that out as next year's pension payment, and we want to assign some of our large surplus to the $5 million for that payment, that's fine. That's a policy choice for the city council. But they're not doing that. If they, as part of that discussion, someone could say, well, why don't we assign some to the police department to let them hire a community service officer or something else Chief Poletti wants? They're not even having that discussion. And for some of the people on the city council, the immediate answer is we have to raise taxes. And I don't think that's true. I think you should take a closer look at the cash reserves that you have now and see what you can do with them before you go to try to raise taxes.
So you're against Measure F, which is raising the city sales tax 0.25%.
I am. And for the reasons I just explained, there's a substantial amount of money available.
There's money available.
Absolutely. If somebody wants to go to my website and they want to get into the arcane discussion of accounting and accrual and modified accrual, they can look and they can see the papers that I've referred to. Nobody at the city has said that the number that I originally gave of $12.5 million is wrong. Nobody said that. What they've said is, well, we only have so much cash. And the number that I gave was cash plus accrual money, which is cash that you're certain to receive. So I call it a cash flow problem and a cash management problem, not an amount problem.
Okay. Our guest is Mike DeQuisto, Michael DeQuisto, running for Reading City Council. And it's a well-fought contest going on here. We have, besides Michael, five others, and we're having all the candidates have been on last week or will be on this week.
And we are taking your calls at 605-4567 if you have a question for Michael DeQuisto, or if you want to go to our chat room at kcnr1460.com. When we come back, let's talk about some campaign issues that are on Michael's website. There are four specific campaign issues, and we'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
On Athens Avenue is your local, family-owned and family-operated Complete Sleep headquarters with the largest mattress inventory in the North State, featuring Organipedic by OMI, the purest latex mattress made, the Spring Air and HD line, the only mattress with a 20-year non-pro-rated warranty, and now featuring the AH Beard Luxury line with over 100 years of experience producing high-quality, handcrafted mattresses with pressure-relieving full-body orthopedic support. Presons also carry a large selection of adjustable beds, futons, organic sheets, mattress pads, and the largest organic and regular pillow selection in town. Presons carry more in-stock inventory than any store in the North State and provide same-day delivery. You'll find the very best prices every day at Presons. Plus, you always receive 12 months no-interest OAC. Ask Steve, Lance, Travis, or Shane about Presons' 60-night comfort guarantee only at Presons Mattress Gallery. 2355 Athens Avenue, next to the Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, home of the best price and the best selection. Remember, your waking hours are only as good as your last night's sleep.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks, from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
where the meatballs are as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Better health means better business. Adamson's Peak Performance now offers businesses a variety of services aimed at making your employees healthier, fitter, and more productive. Our corporate wellness services include corporate membership rates, group personal training, discount personal training rates, fitness lectures and motivational talks, as well as customized corporate wellness plans. To schedule a corporate wellness consultation with Eric or to learn more, call us at 221-8006 or visit AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Oh, the stuff that flies during the commercial. Yeah, sunny today with temperatures around 81, partly cloudy tonight with temperatures around 59. Here we go. Do you remember?
Song I can only play as a bumper one time this year.
So love these guys. Saw them open for the Kings. I saw them open, in L.A. Great. Carl's looking at me like, let's get going. Tuesday, sunny with temperatures around 83. Wednesday, around 85. Forecast calls for we're going to get up into the 90s, the high of 90s. Beautiful, clear weekend. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Wanted to remind you that October 2nd at Wind River Casino, this portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River. And I want to remind you about all the events that you go to Wind River Casino and to their website. But make reservations at 243-3377. There's a special event happening on Thursday night, this Thursday, October 2nd.
What is that event?
Well, it's called Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, and I've got Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramente's on drums, and Rick Hill will be my special guest guitarist. And we're going to be doing a two-hour throwback to the America Songbook and the American Songbook with our jazz standards from 7 to 9. They're also bringing in a special menu just for that night. They're going to be we're doing the first Thursday of every month, October, November, December, and they're calling it Romance on the River, featuring Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. So
it's going to be great.
Elements
Lounge.
Yeah, and like I said, really reasonable prices. I think their entrees for a filet mignon are like $20. So encouraging you to come out and have a good time, have dinner and listen to music and just, you know, have a great night.
It will be a great night, and you give them a call at 243-3377 and ask for Elements Lounge. Michael DeQuisto is our guest.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I have a question.
Yes.
Is Carl invited down to Lady Bot on the River?
Lady Bot in the Bluebird.
And the Bluebird.
Romance on the River. Lady, yeah, I am always there for Romance on the River. Are you going
to
be there for Romance on the River?
He's always invited to Lady Bot.
Good place to go to Thursday night. Okay, I have a bunch of questions rolling in here. What would Michael do about our jail problem? Because part of the problem, the largest part of the problem, is not the fact of us arresting them, because our police and sheriffs are out there arresting them. Though we do need more police, more community service officers. Everybody agrees on that. But once we catch them, what do we do with them? We can move a few of them out, as we've said, to other counties. It's the 200 or so that we need to hold, that we catch and hold. But the question, of course, goes back to what about the jail problem?
The jail problem is a huge issue, and the crime situation requires participation from all levels of government, city, county, state, and federal. Principally in Reading, it's the city and the county, and the responsibility is divided. The city has responsibility for police to start the process, and the county is the one that has responsibility for supervision or holding or the jails. I would like to see the county and the supervisors and the sheriff come together with the city and try to come up with some plan or proposal to increase jail space. And as part of the discussion we've been having, I have not yet seen that. If I'm elected to council, public safety is going to be my number one priority, and I will ask publicly then for meetings to be taken, whether it's between the staff level with Kurt Starman and Larry Lees or the supervisors. I mean, there needs to be some discussion about this. Maybe the answer is we don't have any money at all. Maybe that is the answer. I don't like to hear we can't. I like to hear we will. But frankly, the city doesn't have the responsibility to build more jail space. It's not been the city's job. There has to be a way to solve it. We're a great society.
Maybe there's a way that the city shares some money to help them incarcerate people, which was what I think Measure F was going to do.
Well, there's a lot of issues with Measure F, but in principle, it's a problem that affects city residents and county residents. So the solution should come from city and county. And if the solution requires raising funds in some fashion, they should both participate. There should be an ongoing discussion about that. That's one of the practical issues with the tax measure that Mayor Bassetti has proposed. And I understand why he proposed it, and it may pass. I don't know if it's going to pass or not. But to have a comprehensive analysis and a way to look at that, you need the county to be involved. You can't just propose it and say, let's try, and then we'll talk later about what we're going to do. I mean, there isn't a plan of any kind other than just give us some money. And people don't like that. They want to see a plan. And the county needs to be intimately involved in that.
We have a obviously, we have a huge problem with the transient population here. They're everywhere.
We do.
What was your plan to handle that?
It depends on the word you use. You use the word transient, and some people
it's
use
not homeless. No,
no, I understand.
I'm not talking homeless, because to me there's homeless that want to be helped. There's homeless that can't be helped because they're mentally unstable. But there's a large group of these, and if you talk to the police, they'll say it's the vast majority of them do not want to be helped. They are using this lifestyle to exist. There's a subculture underneath it. Our culture.
I think there's two ways to attack that problem. And initially, I had thought that without jail space, it wouldn't do any good to hire police. After some further discussion with Chief Paletti and some others, Chief Paletti says, you know, people don't like to get arrested. So if you arrest them a lot, while it's frustrating for the police to take them over and have them booked, some of those people will leave. Because they will say, we don't want to be in Reading if we're going to get arrested every 10 minutes. We want to go to some other place where we won't get arrested every 10 minutes. Does it solve the problem? No. Does it help? I think it'll help a lot to I use the word roust, but we don't want them here. It's not our job to solve that problem everywhere and to fix these people or help these people. If they don't want them, they should go. So the city's most effective way to get them to go is by additional police officers on the street, whether it's code enforcement, whether it's you violated this ordinance, whatever it is, the police need to be there constantly so the transients know that they will have some interaction with law enforcement, and hopefully that will cause some of them to leave and some to change.
What would you do about these illegal homeless camps that are out here everywhere?
It used to be when you own private property, if you own vacant land somewhere, it's not a big deal. You just own it, you pay taxes on it, nothing ever happens. But as the property owner, you have some responsibility to make sure it's safe and that it's clean and that it doesn't create nuisances. So the city needs to be more proactive in going after the private property owners. There are provisions that allow nuisance actions essentially to be brought by private attorneys against property owners. And some of those provisions allow attorney's fees to be awarded, which can be enforced by putting a lien against the property. And I'm an attorney and I'm not doing this because I want the work because I don't. But there are attorneys in town that I have spoken to who would take these cases on a contingent fee basis and go after the property owners to try to get orders to
clean it up.
And see, now you're not dealing with a transient. You're dealing with a property owner. And if the property owner ever wants to sell his property, he doesn't want to lean against it. He doesn't want to have to deal with those problems down the road. So you have someone with some incentive to try to cooperate with you and help solve the problem. I think that would help a lot.
I think for private property. A lot of it, though, is let's just use across from Wind River. Down there where this last fire was, it probably cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight. And in fact, we had a property owner on our show a couple of weeks ago. And if you did not listen to that show, you should, because I cannot believe the anger and it's not unfounded anger that what happened to her property. But a lot of this is owned by BLM, or it's the city property. That
backs up to hers.
That backs up to hers, but they have to give them 7 days, a 7-day warning, and then take all their stuff and hold for 90 days for these illegal camps.
Who passed that law?
Well, that was something that came from Sacramento, but
it's probably a law or an interpretation by the city attorney as to what he has to do to comply with
that. I guess that's the bottom line is, and after we take our break, we're going to shift to something else. But would you support a variety of acts that makes it illegal to panhandle, illegal to stand on corners with signs, illegal to sit and lie, permits for people that want to give away food and all these things. Like, you know, they've got feeding in the park. They give away all this stuff. Would you go along with that?
That's about eight things in one question.
Yeah, but they all address one thing.
The general proposition that the city should do more to try to deal with these situations, whether it's by ordinance for certain subjects or not, each one you'd have to consider individually. But I think it's a good idea. I don't have a problem with that. That gets back to more funding for police and letting them go after these people. The more you go after them and make life difficult, the more likely it is they'll go somewhere else. And it should help everybody.
I have a question, and it's just because, you know, help enlighten me. Because I hear the words sometimes we should incorporate. Does that then, if we did do something like that, we could create our own rules and laws, such as not 90 days to hold your junk?
The answer is a corporation is just like an entity of some kind. The city is an entity already. It's a public entity, which is sort of a quasi corporation, but it's its own entity already. So we don't need to incorporate to do more than we're doing right now. We have the ability to do it now. The problem is with the different levels of government, like the woman earlier didn't know about the three branches of government. You have federal laws, you have state laws, and then the city has to deal with those. You have to comply with them, and it could just make it very difficult sometimes.
So you would say, you're saying here that you would support new ordinances that would make it illegal to stand in medians to panhandle the aggressive behavior you see in store parking lots, the illegal camping, all these things that would just make it harder. And the big thing, of course, is permitting groups of people that just want to keep giving away free food and free sleeping bags.
In principle, I have no objection to looking at all those. You have – obviously, words are important, and you have to look and see how it's written and what it says and who it's aimed at.
Yeah, I understand.
But against that, as a general proposition, I think that's more the city can do, and I think the city should do that. You have to do something. They're not doing anything right now except some more guys on bikes, which I applaud. But the rest of the time, the city council is sitting and talking instead of trying to allocate money and moving forward. We could have had some CSOs hired by now.
Okay, our guest is Michael DeQuisto, running for Reading City Council. We'll be right back. Carl and Linda Bott, right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city. None more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
To PaintMart for service and quality.
Bye, honey.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to the Paint Mart. I want to match paint colors with wallpaper and new window blinds.
And just how are you going to do all that?
Paint Mart has this wonderful new PPG Voice of Color touchscreen where you can design paint colors, pick and choose PPG paints for walls and trim. Then I can pick out my wallpaper, blinds, and drapes, all with the ease of a large touchscreen. It's great.
At the Paint Mart, we have a design consultant to help you select the perfect PPG paint for interior, exterior, primers, and stains, including low VOC options with elegant, durable finishes and over 1,900 colors to choose from. We also carry wallpaper, custom blinds, draperies, and shutters. Paint smart with the paint professionals at the Paint Mart, home of quality PPG paint, Redding, Anderson, and Red Bluff.
Come to Paint Mart for service and quality.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars?
Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Bob plays the best bump music, I swear. Is this good Monday morning, like, get up out of bed?
If you're not out of bed, you're missing life. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Our friends there. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold. I was in there Friday getting my haircut, and it's just a great place. DC, Tim, and the Man in Black, Logan. All right, Mike DeQuisto is our guest today, and we've talked about crime, getting money out, and Mike's holding to his guns there. There's money there in the city treasury, in the general fund, that you could go out and hire people right now.
There is money. And let me talk about that, because one response, just briefly, sure. One response to that is you can't take one-time money, which is reserve money, and spend it for an ongoing expense. And with an economics degree and being a bankruptcy trustee, I don't argue with that principle. That's very true. However, money that's there, that's saved, if you have a problem which is immediate and needs attention now, that's what you save the money for. That's what it's used to be used for. You can offer, for instance, to hire CSOs on a one-year trial basis, and you just tell them up front, this is a one-year position, and it may or may not be renewed. And when that idea is mentioned, some people on the council and other people in the city say, we don't operate that way. We can't expect it to work that way. Well, my answer as a businessman is, why not? Put a proposal out and try it. And if nobody applies, then change the terms of your proposal. But don't just poo-poo the idea and be a naysayer and not have anything constructive to say to try to move forward. And let me just say one more thing about it.
Sure.
The sales tax, if the sales tax goes through, that's a one-time fund of money as well, because it ends in 6 years. So there's no difference in principle between taking money and hiring someone for 1 year or hiring somebody and saying in 6 years the money's going to be gone. It's exactly the same argument. In exactly the same proposition. So I don't consider that to be it's a response to the proposal, but I don't think that's a brick wall that you can't overcome.
It's like an old joke. We already know what you are. We're just haggling on price.
Okay, I'm going to just ask a question because
that directed at me?
No.
I want to get down to simplistic terms for those people who are listening and haven't maybe really followed how – the clarity of when you're saying that there's money there and other people who have been – that are in council or people who have been in the city are saying, no, that money's allocated. It's not there. Can we please just explain the fact that maybe if it's allocated doesn't mean it can be revisited? Is that what you're saying? Could we be revisited about how it has been allocated but not yet really allocated? Explain it to me.
All right. The money that I refer to is, in simple terms, money in a piggy bank. And it's savings that the city has. And the city says, for instance, we have to keep $3 million always in the piggy bank, or $3.5 million in case we have a problem. And I say that's fine.
We have a problem.
I agree with that. The question is, how much money is in the piggy bank?
Okay.
I said, according to a financial statement, there was $12.5 million in the piggy bank. And the fund that it says on there, the word next to it says unassigned. Now, you can look unassigned up in the dictionary and you can define it. What it means is nobody on the council has said, let's use this money for X. Nobody said anything at all. So I said, let's take some of that money and use it for police and what they want to go and do. And the response to that is, we don't have $12.5 million, we have $8 million, or we have $7 million.
doing to liquidity
in
by
cash.
Yeah,
in cash money. So I don't want to get into a discussion about the accounting part, but let's say you have $8 million. 8 minus 3 is 5. You can still take $1 million out of that 5 and assign it for a year to do something and hire community service officers. You still have 4 left to go and do it. I've asked the city what's the
four over the
it's
three.
Four over the three that's the reserve. So I mean, it's I think it's a no-brainer discussion, but it's the point of bringing it up is that the money issue is there. Let's talk about how to allocate it. If you want to take that money in your piggy bank and you want to say we owe lots of money in pensions, which we do, and I want to take that money and say now it's going to go for pensions, that's a perfectly fair discussion to have. And that's something the council should be doing right now is how to allocate that money. But they're not. And I think that's a disservice to the citizens to have the money just sit there and not be allocated. And then if a problem comes up, you can use it right away. Okay. But I don't think that's good long-term planning. And I don't think it's addressing the issue we have right now, which is crime and public safety. And the people still have to deal with it every day. And we have some bike patrols and not a whole lot else.
We just had another.
It's a huge problem, and I see it every day, and it's affecting businesses downtown.
Absolutely.
We just had another survey come up and show us being in the bottom again. I don't know if you saw that over the weekend on safety and all that here in the city of Reading. I'm gonna pull that up, but I just saw that this weekend. It was in the Record Searchlight.
Thank you for taking it to simplistic terms.
Yeah, because people will cloud all the issues and
absolutely.
You know, about how much it is. Okay, when we're talking about, then let's talk about, you know, one of the things we need to do is raise our tax base, and to, in other words, more jobs.
More jobs.
What do you see? Not raising tax, but raise our tax base. What do you see as something that the city council can do? Even though that I am a strong believer that the only thing government does is spend money, is can do to help. Maybe jumpstart some more business here, more construction. As we have said, construction has been a big employer in Northern California and Reading, and they've lost a lot. What can the city do to help jumpstart that?
The city can do construction is a big industry in Shasta County, and it's cyclical. It goes up and down, and there are a number of factors that go into whether a building's going to be built and how much it's going to cost. The city participates principally in two ways. One is in impact fees that it charges, and one is in the process you have to go through to get the plans and the permits and everything approved. The city could lower some of the impact fees, and that would hopefully encourage some of the builders to come in and do it. It won't encourage all of them, but some of the spec builders it may. And you don't have to take them away completely, but you could lower them a small amount. The city has done that over the past few years, and the construction activity did go up. At a recent council meeting, they had the opportunity to revisit that and to consider it again, and that was voted down. Three people on the council said, no, we don't want to look at lowering those fees again. Essentially, their argument was we need the money. I find that a little bit strange because this is money that hasn't come in yet. And if the fees are too high and someone doesn't take out a building permit because the impact fees are too high, it's money that you wouldn't get if you don't have the money. If you lower the fees and they take it out, that's extra money. And it doesn't count the money you'll get by the jobs they're creating and the goods and services the employees and the people working will buy, which increases the sales tax revenue. So it's not as clear as some of the people on the council seem to think that it is. So that's important. Helping the permit process some. We've talked about that before. They're anecdotal stories of problems.
Well, we're going to – I'm calling this week to get our head of planning for the city or the permits and have him on and talk to us about – because there's so many anecdotal stories and there's others that say, no, I haven't had a problem. I think we need to have him on and talk about how the whole process works.
I think that's important. I mean, yeah. I've heard the same thing. Some people say to me, I don't have a problem. But those are usually the ones who've dealt with the city for quite a bit, and they understand what you need.
And that's one of the guys said, you know what? I had a heck of a problem until I learned how they work. Not that how the system works, but how they work, which means, you know, so it stopped a lot of his problems. And I was talking to somebody, he had a lot of problems with it, and they had a big sit down. And as it turns out, part of it did come from the city. Part of it was because of the way they, you know, what he was doing, but you shouldn't have to learn how people work. You should learn how it should just be just crystal clear when you go in there to get a permit.
Well, and there's another part to it, and that has to do with the attitude of the people at City Hall, and the attitude comes from the top down. And if the council directs the city manager to direct the building department to say, look, your goal is to get everybody out of there within X time and get it done, at least for the city's responsibility, whether it's 3 months or 6 months or 2 months or whatever the number is, if that comes from the top and it goes down, and give the people who do the plan checks and who deal with the customers some level of authority to make some decisions and not just be, you know, stuck by the book completely word for word, then I think that would help a lot.
Okay, we're going to take an early break here because we come back, we want to talk unfunded liabilities and the fact that many of our city employees, I shouldn't say many, but it's a significant number, are probably in the top 1% of wage earners in Shasta County, much less, you know, in Redding and Shasta County. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Martin and his company have been serving the North State for over 20 years. They are our heating and air conditioning guys. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for emergencies. And now is the time, as it starts to cool off, have them come out and do service on your air, on your heater. Make sure that everything's working there on your heating system and get those get all those filters clean, get new filters in. All of this from Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Michael DeQuisto, Redding City Council candidate, is our guest. We'll be right back.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, appearing in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino Thursday, October 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us as we recreate the vibe of the great lounge era, where musicians like Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and Bobby Veramentes play the wonderful standards of the great American songbook. Oh, yeah, and me, Linda Bott. I'll be at the mic singing my heart out. Dining, dancing, and a night to make memories. October 2nd in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, DeKine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bob, It is 8:48 in the morning, 605-4567. If you've got a question for Mike DeQuista, KCNR 1460, we're rolling out there in our chat room. A lot of questions coming through there. 60 degrees. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to be nice all week long. Beautiful weather. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. Michael DeQuisto is our guest running for city council. And, Mike, the unfunded liabilities. And we hear this, and you can hear it's $300 million, $600 million, it's whatever it is. We've been told that, think of this as like a mortgage, and you're paying on it every month, and it gets paid down. I'm not sure if that's the way to describe
it. But most mortgages are for X dollars, and as you pay it down, it decreases. This is not a – if this is a mortgage, it's an increasing mortgage.
This is an adjustable rate mortgage. Well, it keeps going up.
Not only is it adjustable rate, it's increasing principal because the longer the people live and the more you have to pay them. So it's an increasing interest rate and – or it's a flexible interest rate. And the amount you owe is principally going up over time, not down, because people are living longer. That's the problem with it. So it's not like a mortgage. It is to the extent that you're making small payments against a big obligation. But after that, the similarity completely declines. And the people that say that, I don't agree with their view of that characterization.
The one way to get your arms around this, and people are saying this is happening, is with the bargaining at the table so that city workers pay more into their retirement. And right now it appears that we have, I don't know, a significant number of city employees that make a lot more money than the average person in town here is. Significantly more. I mean, like in the top 1%.
Let me try to answer it this way. There's a couple parts to that question. As far as what the people get paid, we do live in a free society. And when a job opens up for city manager or department head and they say what the salary is, if you apply for it and you get it, in that sense, it's not fair to complain about that particular person because he or she is complying with what it is and going
in. I don't complain a bit about that. We're just talking about
– if you look at the amounts, I do think that it was never intended that the highest paying jobs in a community, certainly in a community like this – be working for the government. People look at that and they just scratch their heads and they say this picture seems to be upside down, that it shouldn't be that way. How do you deal with it? You deal with it as a council member who negotiates more responsibly and tries to keep the costs in line because it's the public's money that you're paying out. And just not to beat a dead horse, but to go back for a minute, the council took some unassigned money and agreed for raises for the top management people, and it was – we hadn't gotten raises in a long time, and they needed money. And that argument sounds very good. They didn't allocate any of that money towards hiring community service officers. Now, here's just an example. They said the cost was $200,000 per year. It's coming out of the general fund, and it's an ongoing cost because the people aren't – their employment continues. Why not at the same time say we'll take another $200,000 from your piggy bank money and hire two community service officers with ongoing expenses as well? I mean, somebody could have proposed that. Nobody did that either. So the appearance is that the people on the council, at least who voted for it, are looking out for the interests of the city employees and not for the interests of the citizens of Reading. I mean, that seems to me to be a fairly reasonable proposal. Nobody suggested it. They could suggest it at the next city council meeting. I mean, I invite them to. Does somebody come up and say, you know what? We would like to allocate $200,000 out of the general fund right now to hire two more community service officers. And I will applaud them publicly if they go and do that. And if they do it, that's a good thing for the city. And I won't say I told you so or they had to hear the idea come from me. But that would help the citizens. That's a positive way to look at it. And I just don't see that happening up there.
Okay. Let's jump into B.
As in Turtle Bay?
As in Turtle Bay B, the Measure B.
Turtle Bay is a hornet's nest, like the little signs they have opposing Measure B. Mm-hmm. This is how I look at the Turtle Bay issue. When we moved here in 1994, the city was running the Carter House and running an art museum, I believe, and they put them together and they made Turtle Bay. And you probably had a 95% approval rating if you had done a poll with members of the public and said, this is wonderful. 20 years later, this issue is very divisive among community members and what to do about Turtle Bay, and McConnell is in it as well, and what should the city do. And I look at that and say that's sad. That's not a good thing as a whole for the community. The second part of that is that they obtained enough votes, enough signatures to put the measure on the ballot, so they have an absolute right to have the citizens vote on whether the land sale should go through, and that's what the issue is. To analyze that, I look at it and say if McConnell was not in the city of Reading and had not provided all the things they have provided, like the bridge and like the fireworks every year and like Lima Ranch and all the money they contribute to the nonprofits, would I want to live in Reading if the McConnell Foundation was not here and had not provided those benefits? And my answer is no. So I look at that and say, sell them the land. I think the price is appropriate for what the land is with the lease that encumbers it. Let them go build the hotel and see what happens. They're willing to go take the risk. If McConnell's going to get in a fight about prevailing wage, let him get in a fight about prevailing wage. The unions have already said, we're going to sue you, the unions in Sacramento, whether you win or lose, doesn't matter what happens. No, they already said we're going to sue you, which goes back to my earlier point of, look how divisive this is for the community. I wish there was a way to not make it like that and have everybody be on the same side.
Well, if I win the lotto this week, I'm going to take $1 million, I'm going to give it to the unions and just say, okay, here you go. Here's $1 million. And they said that. They get paid. They're out of this. And so here's $1 million. Add it on your prevailing wage. Take it. You're saying it's only $1 million more. Here it is.
And so then, you would do that over hiring community service officers?
Well, no. The second million. The second million would go into that.
Okay.
But they'd have to wear have to wear KCNR on their backs. You know, it would have to be on their shirts. They have KCNR 1460 on their backs of their shirts, kind of like we're advertising. If I'm paying for $1 million for officers or community service officers, oh, yeah, either that or something on the cars.
Well, anyway.
Like NASCAR. Why don't we do this? Why don't we sell advertising on police cars and raise a few $1 million?
Not a bad idea.
When Carl runs, he can run on that campaign proposal.
I'm running away.
I have seen sponsored fire trucks made possible by a grant. Why don't we do that?
Okay, never mind. Let's get to this other last thing here.
Michael DeQuisto is our guest this morning, running for city council, and we have about 5 minutes left. Right.
I want to hear vision. What's your vision for Reading, Michael?
I think that vision is important for any city council candidate because you can't just look at the problems that exist. It's a little bit like swatting flies around you right now, and you keep swatting flies, and next thing you know, 3 years has gone by, and you haven't looked forward. So what do I see in the community? I look back to what was here when we moved here in 94 and what we have now, and then I look forward and say, what should we go and see? What do we expect? I think the crime problem, if the city goes and deals with it and the county and we get together, the crime problem will be reduced. I'm confident that will happen. It will take some time, and I think people will feel safer and they'll feel better about going out. Hopefully we can get some of the city parks back and do that. Maybe we won't have to call it Unsafeway anymore. We can call it Safeway.
No, we call it Crackway.
And go down there. I see responsible job growth and responsible development. We have incubators. We have startup companies here in town, and I think some of those startups will take hold. And those people don't care about the regulations in California. They're excited. They want to move forward. They want to make a lot of money. They'll pay what the costs and the taxes are. And I think that's really where our growth is going to come from, and that's a good thing for the community. I hear good things about Stillwater, that there's some activity picking up, and I see somebody being out there. As long as you're patient, and patience is a hard word.
I have heard this too, that Stillwater may be on the cusp.
I think that's
something.
True.
And if that's the case, that's going to be a huge step forward.
Well, and the other thing is that if that happens, that's free money that's not in the budget right now.
That's all extra money for the city, all
across the board is a good thing. The nursing school that we've created over at Shasta College and at Simpson are doing wonders. And people, it takes 2 years to get into the nursing school, and they get out and they get jobs. The Sacramento Riverfront is going to have to be developed with the leases that are currently in effect between the Kuchers family and McConnell, and I see responsible, good development that the whole community participates in, and I don't think we'll have aqua golf there anymore.
No, I don't think Kuchers and McConnell Foundation will never get together, but those leases are coming up.
Never say never.
Okay, you're right.
Never say never.
But there's other groups of people that are very interested in
the property will be developed this. Because the owner wants to develop it, and the property is developable, if that's a word, and the city can participate in it. Who the players are is a secondary issue. And I think that's really important.
You're right.
That's going to help the city and do that. So there's all kinds of things that I look forward to envision. I think you need somebody on the council who will do that. You have to deal with current problems. That's true. But you have to always be looking to the future and think about what's going to happen.
We have somebody on the line, Leland, but I've only got like a minute and a half. Leland, is this a short answer?
Yeah, it's very short.
Okay.
You know, $1 million could probably send about 20, 15 or 20 of those guys out and house them in prison somewhere. That's what the sheriff was saying, that there's a certain percentage of these guys that are stealing cars every week.
That's true.
And so that would get rid of them. That would take them off the street, and that's the answer right there. Or else put them in some kind of reform and make them learn geometry until they get out. You know,
which is
then you can get out when you pass this geometry test.
Oh, fate worse than death, Leland. Fate worse than death.
and as far as the Turtle Bay, you know, that was some of the best salmon spawning area, and the Turtle Bay was there. But we're thinking about everything else except for that. The turtles and the fish, you know. So,
yeah,
we're fighting over this, and they got a little turtle pond over there. So that's all I had to say.
Thanks, Leland. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Michael. Thanks a lot for being here today. I think that you've cleared up some questions that people had.
I hope
so. On the money, and then what you would do in your vision. I would like to. I hope that every one of our city council candidates has vision to keep us moving forward and to achieve. The success that you're talking about.
Well, and I do want to say, I want to thank you and Linda and everybody down here for offering this forum for everybody to participate. It's a wonderful opportunity, and
we're going to do it one more time at the end of October. One more time.
Not again.
Yeah, one more time because
it's
time for one more time for everybody to listen to it. Because
that's a good idea.
It might make the difference.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey, tomorrow, Hidden Humane and many other people. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The latest U.S. light airstrikes in Syria have targeted towns and villages that are under the thumb of ISIS. One aspect of the military operation that we haven't heard much about is the cost. It's costing us a bundle.
Up to $3.8 billion a year if operations continue at their current level. So says the nonpartisan Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. In a worst-case scenario, the center predicts the effort could cost up to $22 billion a year if air operations are expanded significantly, and the U.S. is forced to deploy 25,000 ground troops. Even so, that's just a fraction of the $164 billion a year spent at the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Afghanistan's new president being sworn into office. It appears a new leader is about to give the Obama administration something it's been seeking.